What's up, everyone? This is Jamilia from ByteBow, and you're listening to the Barely Legal in Web3 podcast, the show that talks about Web3 in a way that you can understand and highlights some of the barely legal stuff that's happening in the ever-evolving world of crypto, NFTs, and DAOs. On this show, I give you legal analysis and a bit of perspective, along with my amazing guests who are all thriving in these Web3 streets. So if you're ready, let's take a look at what's been barely legal in Web3. Hey guys, welcome to the very first episode of Barely Legal in Web3. I'm your host, Jamilia Greer. I'm so excited to be finally kicking off this podcast and talking to you guys about all of the very interesting legal issues that are touching upon Web3 tech today. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about why Web3 technology needs more lawyers. And before you guys start complaining and saying, who the hell needs more lawyers, let me explain myself. So every morning I pick up my phone, I look at the news, and most of the stories and headlines that are about what's happening, specifically in the crypto space. And yes, there's some news about what's happening in the NFT space, but particularly with respect to crypto, is this huge wave of insolvencies and bankruptcies and crypto platforms essentially withholding people's requests to withdraw money. So not allowing customers to withdraw money because of insolvency concerns. It is massive. All you need to do is Google Celsius or Voyager, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. These are two massive crypto platforms that have been impacted lately and are now, Celsius just announced that it is seeking bankruptcy protection, so it's filing a Chapter 11. Literally any day of the week when you read the news, you will be bombarded with news about some sort of either devaluation of cryptocurrencies as a whole or insolvency-related news about crypto platforms. And what this does to the industry as a whole, it's very interesting, is that it further creates a lack of trust and a lack of credibility for the industry. So people who are not familiar with crypto or cryptocurrencies, they read these headlines and they say, oh, see, this was all a scam, or Bitcoin was a scam, there's no value in it, or whatever it is, it sort of validates their assumptions about the underlying technology, when really the issue at hand is less related to the underlying technology, it's more related to the handling of businesses. And I'm going to explain a little bit about that and how that's tied to lawyers in the space. One thing you guys will get to know about me, I've been practicing law almost 15 years now, mainly overseas, and most of my roles have been in-house roles in the legal compliance space, advising large companies. And it's funny because I didn't realize until I came out of those roles and started to venture into being founder and CEO of ByteBow, how different it is to be in-house counsel or as a counseling role versus a lawyer that is working at a firm. So when you are advising companies on how to make certain decisions based upon legal issues, your guidance is a mix of the law, it's a mix of what you've seen the business do, the business footprint, your knowledge of the industry, the products, the services. It's not just regurgitating legal facts back to the client. And it serves a whole host of benefits. It is essentially acting as the good angel on the shoulder. If you guys remember the Tom and Jerry cartoons, Tom would always be thinking about doing something, and he'd have a devil pop up on one shoulder and an angel pop up on the other. So as in-house counsel or as a good corporate counsel, your role is to serve as the good conscience. And that means that sometimes you have to advise on business risks and what could happen to the business if a certain business decision is taken. What we are seeing now in the industry today is the result of a lack of good counsel. I read an article where Celsius was talking about, I think they had one of their spokespersons or PR people talking about what led to this insolvency. And okay, so according to the filing that Celsius filed in their bankruptcy proceeding, they basically suggested that they faced these significant losses due to a mixture of bad bets, market conditions, and a failure to manage its rapid growth. Now, as an attorney, look, I'm not their attorney. I have no idea what's going on behind closed doors in their discussions with their bankruptcy counsel and what happened leading up to their filing. But when I see the words bad bets, that sounds to me like risk management issue, meaning that they had some choices, they had some decisions to make about how they would handle their business affairs, and they chose a option that was much more risky than their business could handle. Now, they also mentioned that there were some market conditions and some other things. Obviously, the market's been horrible, but part of running a business is to run it in a way so that if the market conditions become really bad, that your business will be okay, or at least you'll have something to fall back on. This, to me, just seems like they had really... Honestly, I don't even know what the hell they would do. Seriously, it seems to me like they just got a bit too greedy. And it's really unfortunate. It's unfortunate for them, of course. Now they're in bankruptcy proceedings. It's more so unfortunate for their users or their customers who are also bearing the brunt of this horrible situation. It's unfortunate for people who invested in Celsius. And might I add, they received a considerable amount of investment, I think to the tune of about $864 million in investment over about 7 rounds of investment. And just think about that. Think about how much confidence third parties had in their ability to execute on this business plan. And now also think about the fact that they owe their users $4.7 billion. It is mind-blowing. The fact that you have really good startups, really strong business ideas and entrepreneurs that can actually execute on their ideas in the crypto space, in the NFT space, that are looking for funding and they can't get it. They cannot find it. Why? Because investors are falling in line like ducks to invest in companies like Celsius. And at the end of the day, Celsius does something that discredits the entire industry and just kills investor confidence and consumer confidence as well. We can all sit here and say, yes, but the market is suffering. Cryptocurrencies took a dive. This was all because of the market. Yeah, I think it was partly attributed to the devaluation of a number of cryptocurrencies. But I still strongly believe if they had a better business sense and also an ethical sense, that they wouldn't be in the situation, their customers wouldn't be in the situation, and consumers wouldn't be in it as well. Let's go back to the role of counsel in these situations. Where do we go from here? What do lawyers do? What role do lawyers play in the Web3 industry, particularly in the cryptocurrency industry, in terms of mitigating issues like this? First of all, a lawyer's job in this space is to minimize situations like this to the extent that they don't happen. I talk to clients constantly about ways to minimize risk, not just with respect to legal considerations, but how to protect their business, how to protect their customers, how to make sure that what they're doing won't blow up in their face a few years down the line. That's what lawyers are for. BiteBao was created to really be an ecosystem for lawyers and also for Web3 clients that are looking to find solutions to challenging legal issues in Web3. The company has three main pillars. The first pillar is obviously legal services, which we perform for Web3 clients. The second pillar, which is very important and very relevant to what we're talking about today, is training and educating lawyers about Web3 technology and about some of the novel legal issues that can come up. As I launched the company and I started to look for talent in the space, I conducted interviews and I found that many attorneys, while they were interested in Web3, they really had no exposure to the technology or some of the novel issues that were going on in the space. So we host a boot camp for attorneys. The boot camp is really geared to teach them about issues such as IP rights with respect to NFTs, issues such as how you provide legal guidance to clients who are dealing with emerging technology, and much, much more. The third pillar of BiteBow is how do you connect Web3 attorneys globally? You know, one of the things I didn't appreciate as I've been working overseas for about 15 years now throughout Asia, China, and Singapore, is I didn't realize how rare that international legal experience is. And I find that it would be a huge value add to clients to have Web3 attorneys connected in a more meaningful way. So that when a matter comes in, if you involve a legal entity being incorporated in one part of the world and you have clients in another part of the world, you have employees in another part of the world, how do you build a core legal team in a very nimble way? So the third part of BiteBow is really connecting attorneys, whether it's on a directory, whether it is in a forum where we can discuss ideas and discuss referrals, but really creating a community for such. I really think that the cryptocurrency and NFT industries need more lawyers, not just any type of lawyer, by the way. We need more lawyers with a great business sense, with cross-border transactional experience. Yes, it'd be great to have more lawyers that have a tax background, because I think that a lot of entrepreneurs are concerned about that, although it's probably not the first risk that pops into my mind. The first risk that pops into my mind is protecting consumers. And as entrepreneurs begin to build businesses, particularly platforms that are B2C, there needs to be a business savvy counsel in the room that is telling them exactly what the risks are if their business should fail and how they should educate the users of their platform about their product. If you look at OpenSea, if you look at any sort of large Web3 platform today, they're all starting to have some kind of educational component, which is educating their consumers, because they realize that, hey, people that are using our platform don't really understand what the hell it is that our platform is selling, or they don't really understand the mechanics or the technology. They don't even understand their rights. They don't understand what happens if their wallet gets hacked. A couple months ago, OpenSea had a number of snafus with respect to, it's still ongoing, quite frankly, in some cases, but with wallets getting hacked, phishing emails, all sorts of things happening to users on their platform. And the users would come forward and say, hey, are you going to make me whole or reimburse me, or what do I get out of this? And OpenSea said, hey, read the terms and conditions, you get nothing. And yeah, from a business standpoint, it makes sense. I'm glad that they had that in their terms and conditions language. But there has to be some sort of education in this, and there has to be some sort of consideration for users and for consumers. Wrapping it all up, the role of attorneys in this is to make sure all that happens. From a compliance standpoint, yeah, sure, the law may require in some jurisdictions that you make sure you give notice to consumers and make sure that it's in a place that they can actually see and that try to encourage them to read it. But from an ethical standpoint, these things should be in place. We can't have billions of dollars being wiped out of the market because a handful of players get too greedy or because they're reckless. The industry has to do better than that. And that's where lawyers come into place. And on this podcast, I'm going to be going through a number of current events that are popping up. And I'm going to talk about why those are such huge issues from a legal standpoint, what really should be done. I hope you guys enjoyed this semi-rant for the first podcast episode. I promise the other ones won't be so rant, but no, this has been great. I really hope that you guys stick around and listen to more. We're going to have some great guests, clients of mine, previous clients. We're going to be talking to creators and other influencers in the space about hot topics in Web3, all with a legal twist on it. And I'm not going to bite my tongue. I'm going to say exactly what I think about what's going on. So I hope you guys stay tuned for that. Please do go check out the website, bitebow.io, and make sure you're following us on Twitter. Would love to hear from you. Feel free to DM. Let's keep it moving and stay safe out there in those crypto streets. Take care.